11. Amen. All right. Let's get your Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I want to show you how to have a good summer. There's a lot of people during the summertime. I read something the other day, how to have a good summer. And, of course, they were talking about spending money and taking trips and getting sunburnt and all those things. You know, Ron, will you shut that door? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And Revelation chapter 3. All right, are you ready? Revelation chapter 2. Turn it off. Just hold that button, it'll go off. Amen. I'm going to start taking phones away at the door. Revelation chapter 2. All right. No, don't leave your gun. All right. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Skip down to verse 16. In chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Now, look at chapter 3, verse 3. In verse 3, he says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Skip down to verse 12. 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go in, shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Skip down to verse 21, chapter 3. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Skip down, last verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, help us today. Pray you'd meet with us. We've come together as you commanded. We've not forsaken our assembling together as the manner of some is, but we've come together seeking thee. And Lord, I pray now that you would manifest thy Spirit, thy power, thy presence, as you promised you would. And then, Lord, if there's one among us, I pray today that doesn't know you, that today would be the glad day that they'd receive Jesus as their Savior. And for those of us that do know you, I pray that you'll draw us into a closer walk with thee. And whatever happens, we'll say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. In the book of Revelation, most people usually think about future things. When they think about the book of Revelation, they think about the future. But I want you to notice, he said, remember, 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 repent, 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 turn, turn. Repent means change of mind in your mind. And it means change of heart in your heart. And it means change of lifestyle in your life. Repent. Remember to repent. Remember we have changed some things. Remember, it, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature and all those old things are passed away. And all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. So we need to remember some things. As Christians, even in the summertime, when life gets hectic and you got kids and grandkids and everybody's pulling at you in all different directions, and boy, you think living's easy, I made a big mistake. I thought when I became a senior citizen that life would get simple. Boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. Amen. I thought when my children grew up and moved out, and that is why we raised them, is it not, Bonnie? Yes, that they might move out. I thought when they grew up and moved out that life would get easier on Grandma and Grandpa. Boy, was I wrong. I thought when they had kids, they would take care of them, and I'd get to play with them. Boy, was I wrong. And we need to remember that God has done some great things in our life. And we need to remember that God is still doing great things in our lives. And we need to remember that God is the source of all heavenly good. Amen? Are you listening? And then we also need to repent. We need to change our minds about some things. We need to quit thinking and see what he says about it. Amen? I taught in Sunday school, the Bible is our final authority. That is where I go to know what God says about the whole matter. It's not my opinion, not my feeling. It's not ABC, NBC, the Today Show, Good Morning America, Fox News Channel. The Bible is my final authority. What does the Bible say? I like you, I love you, but if you make me make a choice between you, what you say and what he says, I'm going to take what he says every time. I'm not making that choice. I made that choice March 5th, 1978, where the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I made that choice that day when it says, if I'd believe on him, he would give me eternal life. Are you listening? I'm telling you, I made that my final authority that day. I don't need opinions. I don't need polls. I don't need to have a committee to discuss it. If God said it, that settles it. It's done. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that in the summertime just like we do in the wintertime. Hey, if it's wrong to be naked in the winter, it's wrong to be naked in the summer. Amen. Amen. Come on, help me here. Help me. Amen. Amen. And so I thought of some ways that you could get a good start or restart, however you want to look at it, on your summer. Now, don't get excited. I'm not going to get to preaching on a lot of things you think I'm going to preach on. Amen. Baptists don't go to the beach. We go to the ocean. I went to the island this past week. St. Simon's, very family-friendly. It's not expensive. If you ever want to take your family somewhere, you listening? St. Simon's is the place to go in Georgia. But very inexpensive. But the only reason I got to go is because my daughter was doing a seminar for Georgia State school teachers, and I got to go. But the point being, I'm not preaching on that stuff. I'm going to preach you something that will help you, okay? Number one, if you're going to have a good summer, you need to read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You know what you'll do? You're determined to read through your Bible this summer, or at least as much as you can. Did you know if you'll read 3 or 4 chapters a day, you can read through your Bible in a year without any problem at all? You read more newspaper than that. You watch more TV than that. Say amen right there. Amen, amen. Why should you care what New York Times says and ignore what God says? Amen. And you ought to purpose it in your heart. Even on vacation, I read my Bible every day. On vacation, I don't take a vacation from my Bible. I take my Bible. And every day, I read my Bible on vacation. And I've been reading my Bible through again this year. And guess what? That Bible, every day, gets 3 or 4 chapters read through it while I'm on vacation. Because I'm not on vacation from the Bible. I'm on vacation from, I don't know, I don't know why people take vacations anymore. We live in a vacation world. The Bible is the only way I know there's a heaven. Listen, the Bible is the only way I know there's a hell. And listen, y'all need to quit arguing with people and debating with people about heaven and hell and start remembering some scripture and quote the Bible instead of how you feel. They don't care how you feel. How you feel has no authority with people, even if you do have on a blue uniform. They don't care how you feel. They don't care about your opinion. What you need to do is say, well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to come back there and sit with y'all too right now in a minute. Listen, the Bible says, I did children's church for about 18 years. I can straighten out anybody. Amen. If you can preach in children's churches I had, you can preach anywhere, amen. I preached at a nursing home for many years. If I can preach while them poor old ladies come through there taking their clothes off and don't miss a lick, I can preach anywhere. Amen. Amen. You don't intimidate me talking. Sit up and listen. Now, listen to this. The Bible is the only way I know I'm saved. The Bible is how I know sin is sin. Right. Amen. Now, I don't care how you think about it. I don't care what your opinion is on somebody drinking liquor. I know the Bible says it's wrong. Amen. I don't care what you think about homosexual relationships. I know the Bible says it's wrong. Now, this summer, you ought to make up your mind to read your Bible. And if you hadn't been doing it, then start over. Just start over. You say, well, I don't understand everything I read. You don't understand everything you read in the newspaper either, but you read it. Amen? You certainly don't understand those crazy people on TV when you watch the news. I guarantee you that. But you listen anyway. And then you know what you'll do in the summertime. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not assembling thyselves together as the manner of some is, even so much more so as you see that day approaching. You ought to make up in your mind, I am going to church. Most of the time, very seldom not, most of the time when we go on vacation, we find a church to go to. Yes. I've been on vacation at the ocean and went to an ocean Baptist church. And that Sunday was stewardship Sunday. And the preacher, all he talked about was money. But I went to church, bless God. I went to church and I endured that. Amen. Because I wasn't giving them no money. I was trying to build a church up here. And... hey, I've been to church where one day the song leader who sat at a piano and he sang those 7-11 songs, 7 words, 11 times, you know, and he had that microphone up there and he sounded like what was that black man that used to sing the big one, his love song guy. Yeah, Barry White. That song leader sounded like Barry White. You know, he's a, I love you, baby. I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't you love me, baby? And he'd sing part of it, and he'd let us sing 3 or 4 words at the end of it. My wife said, I felt like one of the pips with Gladys Knight. We were his backup singers. That's all we were, the song leaders, backup singers. We didn't sing nothing. We just repeated what that guy would sing. And so I've been to church on vacation, did not have a good time, was bored to tears or aggravated to madness, and yet I went to church. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of thyself. You don't take a vacation from church. Matter of fact, I try not to go anywhere during church. I really try not to schedule anything on Sundays. I really try. And if I do, I usually leave on Sunday night. I don't leave Sunday morning. But the point being is, you ought to go to church this Sunday. You ought to go 3 times a week. The kids are out of school. It shouldn't be a big deal to take them to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night. They're not in church. And our church has a good thing. They're teaching them about missions and some things that would blow your mind. Most people don't even know about missionaries. And those kids are loving it. Ain't that right, Clinton? Say amen. He loves it. Clinton loves it. And every Sunday is the Lord's Day. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not your day. Don't get quiet on me now. You like the part about Barry Manilow or whatever I said. Listen, look. Every Sunday is the Lord's day, not your day. It's not Carowinds Day. It's not Disney Day. It's not Beach Day or Mountain Day. Every Sunday is the Lord's day. You ought to go to church at least one time, even if you're on vacation. Here's how you do it. You organize your life around church. You don't organize church around your life. Amen. Yeah. So here's the problem. Most people organize church around their life. And this is what that means. Well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. And if I find time, and if I can squeeze it in between Carowinds and the river and the mountains and the beach or anywhere else that you might go, if I can squeeze it in, I might show up at church if I get up on time and it ain't raining. Right. Amen. Look, If you're going to be a Christian in the summertime, you're going to have to be a Christian in the summertime. You're going to have to, look, you need to organize your life around church. My family has, and I haven't always been the preacher or the pastor. My family, we've never got up on Sunday and said, well, what we're going to do today? Amen. It's never discussed. We just get up and get dressed. Where are you going? Well, I thought you lived in this house. Where you been? We go to church every Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. We just get up and go. We don't have a vote on it. Amen. You say, well, I got teenagers. Hard to get them out of bed. Drag them by the foot. Drop them in the floor. They'll wake up. Who's the boss at your house anyway? I know people's got 4 or 5 year olds and they determine on whether or not to go to church by the 4 or 5 year old. You ought to be an adult, a parent, get that kid out of bed and say, you're going to church, no discussion. Where's your stick at, Danny? You can hold up now. Church or this, which one do you want? And you're still going to church even if I whip you. And I've whipped them on the way to church. I've parked the car and switched them. Amen. Come on, Billy, help me over here. Be going down the road saying, we going to church, shut up! Just have to do it. That's what a Christian is. We go to church. Our life is built around church. Church is not built around our life. We don't just squeeze it in. Okay. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy going to church. And I like it better in the summertime. I like church better in the summertime. If I could, I'd open these windows, but they painted them closed 50 years ago. Those windows done been painted so many times, you couldn't get them open with a bomb, man. They got so much paint on them. But I'll tell you this, you ought to go. Number three, you know what we'll do in the summertime? You ever heard of spring cleaning? You ever heard of spring cleaning? My mama used to take bleach and water. And the first time she could open the windows and open the door, we had screen doors back then, and she'd open the windows and open the doors and she'd go to work with that bleach and water, buddy. She'd clean every, we didn't have much, but it was clean. I guarantee you it was clean. You wouldn't ever get no kind of food poisoning or nothing in my mama's house. I think she cooked in bleach. I don't know. Listen, it was clean. Everything in my house was clean. Amen. And you, Christians ought to do the same thing. Spring cleaning. Nice summer. If you didn't do it, jump in there and do the summer cleaning with your life. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, we're to clean out the dirt and the cobwebs, every one of us. Did you know our life gets dirty? Our life gets dirty. 1 John 1:7 says if we walk in the light, he's in the light. The blood of Jesus does what? Cleanses us from all sin. So that tells me that sin must be dirty. Amen? Used to be, if somebody said a cuss word, a little boy would look over at his dad and say, he said a dirty word. That's what he used to say. Now you let him watch it on TV and you don't say nothing. But I want you to look at this. Psalm 51, verse 10. In Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So that tells me that when we get sin in our life, it's compared to dirt and filth, and that the blood of Jesus cleanses that. And I don't know about you, but I can't be happy being in a dirty place. Now, I know everybody ain't like me. Y'all listening? We went to the ocean, and I love to look at sand. I love to walk on sand, but I can't stand sand anywhere else other than the bottom of my feet. That's it. And everything seems like every time I go down there, I eat a sandwich, there's sand in it. You ever eat a sandwich and get sand in it? Especially if you paid $10 for a hamburger and it's got sand in it. That does kind of make you mad, don't it? And the drinks even taste kind of salty. The water tastes a little bit salty. Y'all don't ever do that. I don't like dirt. I don't like dirt at all. I like being clean. It ain't in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness, but the principle is there. I don't think God's dirty. Amen? I think God's clean. He's pure. He's holy. And all those things. So what we need to do during this summer, we need to get the dirt and the cobwebs out of our life. Amen. Yeah. We need to get them out. We need to get them out. You say, well, preacher, I'm only human. I got these shortcomings. Clean them out. Clean them up. That's like that man or woman that looks over at the kitchen table. They haven't moved the dirty dishes in a week. They say, well, I'm only human. I just don't like washing dishes. Shut up and clean off your stinking table. I don't want to eat here. Nobody else wants to eat here until you clean off that table. And Christians don't like to be around us when we're dirty in our spirit and in our heart. And Jesus said, the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. If you got sin in you, I'll guarantee you it's coming out of your mouth sometime, somehow, some way to somebody. Amen? I'd give you one good sign, gossip. That's a good sign of a dirty heart. That's a good sign somebody needs to get something cleaned out. Amen? Gossip is nothing but jealousy and envy. That's all it is. Trying to find something wrong with somebody else because you're jealous of them. You envy them. And you're trying to make yourself feel better about yourself instead of changing like they have. You want to stay the way you are and bring them down to your level. It don't work. It don't work. That's why it's called gossip. God hates it. So what we got to do, we got to open the windows, get out the bleach, start cleaning. Billy Boatwright's probably got the cleanest automobile of anybody in here. Of course, he's probably got more money invested in that truck than anybody here, too. Not to mention the time, and if your time's worth anything, that's a lot. But I guarantee you, he does not wax it before he washes it. That's a dumb thing to do, is try to wax something before you wash it. You know what you're doing? All you're doing is pasting that dirt down to that body, and you're making it permanent is what you're doing. It's going to be harder to get off. And the same way in our Christian life, a lot of times we want to simonize our sin, and we want to wax it by putting on a new suit of clothes and getting our hair cut and running down to church and playing like a Christian, and all we're doing is trying to wax over something that's already dirty. You need to wash it first. You need to get out the blood of Jesus Christ, which is like bleach, and let it wash that stuff off, and then put on your suit, and then be a Christian. Amen? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. But on the other hand, don't let hypocrites hinder you from going to church. A man told me one time, he said, I can't go to church because of the hypocrites there. I said, well, you go to Walmart with them. Same people. Same people. Amen? It doesn't bother you to go to Walmart with hypocrites. And by the way, Brother Rick, a lot of people are not hypocrites. They're just fallen and they're weak and they've made mistakes and they've fell into sin. And you just happen to see that moment in their life. Why don't you hang around a while after they get really clean? Then point that one out and use that one for an example. Amen? Amen. What if they started looking at yours and pointing yours out? Amen. And this other fellow said he was a Christian, but he never went to church. I said, why not? He said, I don't want to go to church with hypocrites. I said, you ought to come on. You just be another one. Because Christians go to church. You're a hypocrite if you say you're a Christian and you don't go to church. That's a hypocrite. Amen. Amen. That's like working at the Chevrolet place and buying a Toyota, brother. Amen. Hey, y'all don't know, Brother Jeffrey retired from Chevrolet place in Michigan. And I don't think you'll ever see him drive a Toyota. I don't think you'll ever see him drive a Ford. Of course, any intelligent man. But I don't think you'll see him drive a Volkswagen. Of course, he couldn't take a Volkswagen big enough in town to hold him. But the point being, the man's not a hypocrite. He told me one day, he said they paid for my groceries, they paid for my house, they raised my children, the Chevrolet people did, GM did. He said they gave me checks for working there and they gave me benefits and I retired under that. He said, I'm not gonna buy anything else. I'm gonna be true to them because it's true to me. Amen. Now he'd be a hypocrite to drive anything else. So what is a Christian that don't go to church on Sunday? Don't get mad at me. You still love me, don't you? Amen. I like what Deborah said one day. She had a friend that got mad at me. And can you believe that? CJ, can you believe that? Can you repeat what I just said? I didn't think so. I said, Deborah had a friend got mad at me over this homosexual stuff because I preached the truth. And her friend got mad at him, quit coming to church. And Deborah said, she looked at her, she said, "He's a pastor. What do you expect him to say? You want the truth, don't you?" Amen. You need to clean that dirt out. You need to clean it out. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Now you're not gonna have a clean heart if your spirit's not right. People come to church and they're saved and on their way to heaven, been baptized, and they sit there and bless me if you can, preacher. I've been a bigger preacher than you are, and they didn't bless me. Ain't nobody gonna bless you. Your spirit ain't right. Amen. Except maybe the lottery that you keep wasting money on. Look, here's what we need to do. Get our clothes Christianized. I'm going to say that one again. Why don't you get your clothes Christianized? Instead of Simonized, why don't you get them Christianized? Amen? Amen. I remember a time when you could tell the difference between Christians and heathens. Amen? Why don't you get your habits Christianized? Amen. Come on. Why don't you get your TV and your radio and your computer Christianized? Why don't you get your friendships Christianized, young people? Why don't you throw out that junk, dirt? I'll never forget. I worked in several cotton mills, and I was operator on some machinery. And if we didn't keep those motors clean, that dust from that cotton would build up inside that motor. And it built up in those bearings, and it wouldn't be long, that motor would lock up. And it's the same way with our Christian life. You let that dirt build up in there, and you let that dust from this old world settle on you, and it won't be long, you'll be locked up in a bad place. Now, I'm not just talking about jail. Bad relationships, bad habits, bad things will lock you up in this life, and pretty soon you won't be able to function anymore simply because you didn't clean it up when you had the opportunity to do it. You know what we'll do? Proverbs 11:30, in the summertime, just like the wintertime, he that winneth souls is wise. We'll be winning people to Christ. We'll see people saved. Somebody says, "Well, I don't know how to tell somebody how to be saved." You ever been in a car wreck? I guarantee you, if I started asking about car wrecks, people jump up because people love to talk about misery. And they jump up and talk about their car wreck, and they tell me every little detail, how they had 36 stitches here and 12 here and a broke elbow, and the doctor that treated them in the hospital they were in. And some of them probably even know the name of the tow truck driver that took the car off. They know how much the insurance paid and how much it didn't pay. You know what that's called? Being a witness. I was there in 1978, the day that God saved me. I can tell you what happened. Are you listening? You say, "Well, I don't know all that scripture." You know what happened to you, don't you? All you got to do is tell it. That's called witnessing. That's called, did you know a lot of people just like you looking for what you got, and they're going through the same experience that you went through, and you don't have to know a whole lot of scripture. All you got to do is give your testimony, and God, the Holy Ghost, will do the work. You ain't got to do the work. You just witness. You'll do that everywhere you go. We got gospel tracts in there. Nobody ever picks them up. You'll take some of those. Every time you go to when we go to a restaurant, I'll leave a gospel tract with the tip in it. Now, I know some of you wouldn't do that because you're ashamed of how much you don't give to them. But don't cheat them now. Don't put a dollar in there. They'll pick that up and say, "Oh, hypocrite Christian, here I am working." They come out here on Sunday and put a dollar in here telling me how to be saved. What kind of Christian is this, you know? But take gospel tracts, leave them places. When I first got saved, I stayed at the library because I was reading a lot of history about preachers. And every book I read, I'd put two or three gospel tracts in it when I turned it in. So the next guy, when he got it, when he opened it up, guess what happened? Gospel tracts fell out in his lap. But everywhere you ought to go, you ought to be a witness. And listen, if you can't be a witness there, you ought not go. Amen. Don't get quiet on me now. Barry White's still up here, same guy. Listen, you ought to leave a gospel tract. You ought to be a witness everywhere you go. And then you ought to invite people to church. You don't have to be a preacher to invite people to church. I'm glad a little old girl invited me to church, Terry's best friend. I'm glad she invited me to church, and I went down there, and that's the church I got saved in. She didn't quote a bunch of scripture. She didn't preach to me. She just invited me to church. Her mama invited me to church, went to church with her mama. And I'm just telling you, you don't have to know a lot, and you can still be a witness. Just invite them to church. We'll tell them the scripture. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, do that in the summertime, man. You ought to win souls. You ought to bring them down the aisle. Some of you used to do it, and you've quit. You want me to do it for you. And I can, but I don't have a relationship you have with those people. It's not the same. I'm a total stranger. Deborah sent me to see some the other day. I think I run them off. The kids was riding with her, and I went to see them, and the guy came to the door, and I really didn't do much witnessing, very little, but a little bit. I wasn't real pushy, you know. And she said, they're not coming to church now. And I think that's my fault. But you know what I told Deborah? You go see them. You got a relationship with them. I don't have. They'll listen to you. They won't listen to me. And all of you have that. So, look, keep doing what you're doing. Here's one, Malachi 3:8. I want you to turn there and mark this in your Bible. Some of you think this preacher saying it. Malachi 3:8. Oh, he's going to preach on money. Yeah, I am. Yeah, just for a minute, I am. Malachi 3:8. I'm not going to spend a whole sermon on it, but I'm going to preach the whole book. So Malachi 3:8, look at it. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. In other words, the Lord's house needs financing too. And prove me therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Now let me tell you what happened. If you tithe and above, but if you at least tithe, you'll stop robbing God. I mean, listen, this summer, don't give Disney World God's money. Don't give the one up yonder, Carowinds, God's money. Don't give Myrtle Beach God's money, because God, now he's not going to strike you in the head with a bolt of lightning, but he's not going to give you what he wants to give you either. Boy, I never would think you'd get that quiet in a Baptist church. Amen? Boy, I might better spend some more time on that one. Amen. Listen, he says, prove me. You know what happens when you tithe? God takes control of your finances. Are you listening? Teenagers, if you got $10 for, and most of you get more than that now, it's probably going to laugh at me and say $10 for allowance, you owe God a dollar. I didn't say you need to. I said you owe God a dollar. $1. If somebody gave you a dollar this week, you owe God 10 cents. Amen? 10%. 10%. That's what we owe him. That's not what we ought to give him. That's just what we owe him. Out of duty, we do that. Some people here probably do 20%. 15%. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what builds buildings, and that's what pays light bills, and that's what pays the poor little old preacher, and that's what buys the material, and that's what keeps the air condition on or the heat on. If you will honor God this summer with your money, God will honor you. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. God takes care of his children. Amen. You know what? You're not giving it to the preacher. You're giving it to God. And I'm going to get real mean right here. You probably wouldn't have to ask for the others' offering if you was given as much sometimes you ought to. Now, I'm not saying sometimes God don't put you in a spot where you have to ask for help, but I'm saying most time you never have to ask for help. And we have people coming in, and I'm not ashamed or afraid or don't want to give others' offerings. I'm just telling you, hey, you honor God and you go above and beyond what he asks, he's not going to let you go hungry. He's not going to take that roof off of your head. Now, I know there comes hard times in everybody's life. I've had them myself. But I'm saying generally, you honor God with your money. You don't rob God and give it to somebody else. I know people give their God's money to their children. They buy them stuff. Look up here. Every parent in here, look up here. There's not a kid in this room absolutely has to have a cell phone. Matter of fact, I think the rule ought to be if you can't work and pay the bill, you ought not even have one. You don't know who that kid's talking to on that phone. And by the way, every new phone has pornographic access. If it can get on the internet, it can see something it ought not see. And if it's got a search engine, you don't ever know what's going to pop up on that thing. Let me tell you something. Children, the devil don't like this part. You ought to know where your children are. They ought not have to call you. And if they do call you, hey, they can call you from Myrtle Beach. You can say, where are you? You're supposed to be over at Jimmy's house. Oh, I am. We're out here in the yard. You won't know. Amen. Don't dial me now. There's not a kid in here in this church needs a laptop. Or a, what are them other things, a tablet or whatever, iPod. You don't need that. Schools have got plenty of that stuff. Now, I'm not against them having them, but I'm saying this. Don't take God's money and buy people, children, grandchildren, junk, which may even influence them in the wrong direction, and expect God to bless your finances. He's not going to do it. Well, I better move on to that next point. I can tell I've lost about two-thirds of especially these young ones. Amen? Now, listen. Give it here. Well, preacher, this won't our money. No, I'm just telling you, support your church and God will take care of your church. I'm going to go on. Okay, I can see I made enough of you mad. Psalm 51:10. Why would you send your money to Joel Osteen? I'll tell you what, when you send it to Joel Osteen and you're in the hospital, call him. Amen? Call Jimmy Swaggart. Amen? Amen? I don't even know the preacher's name no more. Much as I like Charles Stanley, he ain't coming. He ain't coming. Take your extra money and give it to them. But hey, listen, you support your church. These people here love you. And one day they're going to have a nice facility and they're going to take care of you and your children, your grandchildren. All right? Here's a good one. Psalm 51:10. I'm through. Psalm 51:10. Lord, forgive me, I lied. I'm not through. I'm cleaning out the dust. Amen. Psalm 51:10. Look at it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, you know what you ought to do? You ought to sing. You ought to rejoice. You ought to get excited about being saved. I'm talking about keeping a good spirit. You know the worst testimony for this church is a sour spirit. You know the worst testimony for Jesus Christ is a sour spirit. Growing up, I knew some old mean, hard, they said they were Christians. And we didn't go to church. And I thought, boy, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. I mean, that's mean, brother. And hard, just hard. Walked around with a scowl on their face all the time. I know you ain't right, I can tell by looking at you. Just mean. Mean, man. You know what you ought to have all summer long? Of all the time. Now, I can understand how people get ill in the wintertime. You get cold, you get ill. I hate being ill. But, man, it's warm weather out there. You know, you walk around and say, glory to God, look at that beautiful tree and those beautiful flowers. And look at the beautiful creation of our Heavenly Father. And, boy, He's been good to me. He let me live here. I don't have to live in Michigan. It ain't summertime up there, but 2 weeks. I ain't living in New Hampshire or Maine or Delaware or New Jersey. Glory to God, I ought to jump a pew. Amen. Amen. I'm down here in the best part of the country. I see a little snow this year. I see a little bit of rain. I see a lot of sunshine. It's going to be warmer than it is colder. I am a happy man. I'm living in paradise. Amen. We'll be happy people. And then we'll say, boy, God loved me so much, He opened my eyes. He didn't have to let me see it. He didn't have to. There's people all through this world that's lost and going to hell, and they don't even know they're lost and going to hell. There's people all over this world. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face, and they'll say, I just don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't see it. And yet God opened our eyes and let us receive the truth. We'll be the happiest people in town. We're going to heaven. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We couldn't go to hell if we wanted to. We're fireproof, man. We're on our way to heaven, and old truckers used to say, with the hammer down. We're going fast as we can get there. Amen? And so, we'll rejoice and we'll praise. Boy, I hate to go to these churches where they sing, there shall be showers of blessing. And I want to say, shut up, shut up, shut up. You ain't going to sing it right. Don't sing it at all. Amen? We'll be happy. We'll keep a good spirit. We'll sing. You teenagers ought to open a song book. You young people ought to open a song book. You ought to smile. You ought to laugh. You ought to weep when it's time. But don't just dry up and die. This lost world is looking for the real thing. I drank Coke cold the other day. It ain't the real thing no more. You know, they came out with new Coke, and they found out it wasn't no good, so they tried to change it back to the old, but they never made it back to the old. Hey, I've got the real thing. I've got the original. Amen. Amen. 100% sugar. Ain't nothing artificial in what I got. Amen. And we'll be happy about that. We'll rejoice about that. It ought to be. People says, well, you know that old Ron Rums, he ain't got much, but he's a happy man. I wonder if he's in his right mind. Somebody else says, I don't know, but leave him alone. He's having a good time. Amen. Amen. Well, to be happy. And look, did you know that a good spirit attracts people more to Christ than anything else you can say or do? Boy, I've known Christians, and you've known them too, Sister Missy. You ain't get saved. You're going to go to hell. Well, I already know that. Tell me something I don't know. If you don't quit drinking that liquor, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, I know that. Everybody I know drinks liquor. Tell me what to do, you know. And they're so busy telling you what's wrong with you, and they're so mean. Well, sometimes maybe it is good to get mad and get mean. But look, a good spirit is what we need. And people see that. And the Bible says they'll see it in you, and they'll ask about your hope. You ought to love people. You ought to help people. You ought to minister to people. Quit judging people. Start loving people. You don't know how that little old girl got in that predicament. You don't know why that boy is the way he is till you talk to him and find out. Now, some people ain't going to receive that. That's true. But you know, there's a lot of people just looking for a smiling face. They'll love them.
That's right. Yeah,
come on. And usually it's the most unusual people. Boy, I've been out knocking on doors and knock on some doors, and people, you don't sound like no Baptist to me. Slam. And then some old boy comes to the door. He's got rings in his ears and his nose and his eyebrows, shaved head on one side, purple on the other, tattoos from the top of his neck to the bottom of his foot, and he's just as nice and polite as he can be. He's looking for the truth, and nobody's ever gave him a smiling face and loved him and told him what the problem is. I wish we had a church full of freaks. We got a few already. Look around. You'll love people. You'll care about people. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. You'll thank God out loud every day. You listening? You'll thank God out loud every day. Number one, he's listening for it. Are you listening? Number one, he's listening for it. Number two, the devil's to hear it. And number three, somebody in this whole world looking for somebody that's real that'll do it.
Amen.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, I'm just shy. Are y'all listening? I'm just shy. I'm not that way. Well, get that way.
Amen.
Thank God out loud every day. I've told you my tradition over and over. I do it every day. We quit getting the newspaper. I got it digital now. But this morning, I walked out to the mailbox because that's my tradition to get the paper. It ain't there. I have to read it on the internet. And so I walked out. I said, thank God for the trees. Thank God. This is my yard. Thank God. That's my tree. Thank God. That's a beautiful sky. Thank God I can see. Thank God I can still hear those birds singing. Thank God I can still smell. Thank God I can still walk. I can still talk. Thank God I'm in my right mind. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my church. Out loud, walking up and down the driveway, I bet my neighbors think I'm a nut. But every day, we'll thank God out loud. We took those, my granddaughter and her friend. Her friend's a Jehovah's Witness. And we'd take them to these restaurants because me and my wife were the chaperones. Of course, we didn't know the chaperones had to pay for everything. And we took them out there, and my daughter told me, now her parents are Jehovah's Witness, you know, can't, don't. I said, okay, I'm not that crude, you know. But every meal, I don't care how crowded that restaurant was, how loud it was, I said, let's pray. And out loud, I thank God for my meal and ask God to supply the needs of all my family back home. Out loud. You don't you think that made an impression on that girl? I bet it made an impression on some of those people around us. You could thank God. You say, preacher, I ain't got much thinking for you. You're alive. You're breathing. You're walking. They walked in here. I don't see any wheelchairs. Hey, some of you's in your right mind. You'll thank God for it. Amen. Amen. You'll thank God every day. You say, well, preacher, I used to. Well, push that reset button and start over. Start over. Do it again. I want to ask you a question. Are you spiritually worn out? Do these six things in your life, any of them need to be restarted? Or maybe the problem would be you're just not born again. You don't have these desires because you've never been saved. The Spirit of God doesn't live in you. He doesn't convict you because He's not converted you. Well, I got good news for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you a rest. That's what He said. He said, take my burden upon you. He said, take my yoke upon you. My burden's light, He said. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not saved today, don't lie to me and tell me you're happy. You're not. Amen. You can fake it all you want to. I used to fake it myself. But that's why you need chemicals and alcohol to make you smile, because you're missing something and you need God. Today be a good day. Today be a good day to hit the start button. Amen. You've never been born again. Why don't you start it today? Admit you're a sinner, believe on Christ, call on Him, and He will save you. He's never turned down one sinner, not one. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I don't know anybody's heart in here, but I know mine. This message did my heart good today.